Hello to everybody listening at the Ranger's Grove. It is a season of giving, and everybody here has given so much to me that I wanted to return the favor and give something back to all of you. Keep in mind that what you're about to hear is not for circulation, not for posting. It is just for the people here who come to hang out, for you to listen and enjoy for yourselves. That being said, Starless Night, Chapter 24, Head First. Drizzt came back into his cell to see Caterby still lying on the stone floor, holding the spider mask and gasping heavily as she tried to steady her breathing. Behind her, Entreri hung awkwardly by one arm, twisted and stuck to the gooey wall.
"This'll get him down,"
Caterby explained, tossing the mask to Drizzt. Drizzt caught the mask but made no move, having much more on his mind than freeing the assassin.
"Regis telled me,"
Caterby explained, though that point seemed obvious enough.
"I made him tell me."
"You came alone?" Caterby shook her head, and for a moment Drizzt nearly swooned, thinking that another of his friends might be in peril, or might be dead. But Caterby motioned to Gwenhiver, and the ranger breathed a sigh of relief.
"You are a fool," Drizzt replied, his words wrought of sheer incredulity and frustration. He scowled fiercely at Caterby, wanting her to know that he was not pleased.
"No more than yourself,"
the young woman answered with a wistful smile, a smile that stole the scowl from Drizzt's face. The dark elf couldn't deny his joy at seeing Caterby again, even in this dangerous circumstance.
"Are you wanting to talk about it now?"
Caterby asked, smiling still.
"Or are you wanting to wait until we're back in Mithril Hall?"
Drizzt had no answer, just shook his head and ran a hand through his thick mane. He looked to the spider mask then, and into Entreri, and his scowl returned.
"We've a deal,"
Caterby quickly put in.
"He got me to you and said he'd get us both out, and we're to guide him back to the surface."
"And once there?" Drizzt had to ask.
"Let him go his way, and we are to go our own,"
Caterby answered firmly, as though she needed to hear the strength of her voice for the sake of her own resolve. Again, Drizzt looked doubtful from the mask to the assassin. The prospects of setting Artemis and Treri free on the surface did not sit well in the noble ranger's gut. How many would suffer for Drizzt's actions now? How many would again be terrorized by the darkness that was Artemis and Treri?
"I gived me word,"
Caterby offered in the face of her friend's obvious doubts. Drizzt continued to ponder the consequences. He couldn't deny Entreri's potential value on the ensuing journey, particularly the fight they would likely face in getting out of the Benray complex. Drizzt had fought beside the assassin before on similar occasions, and together they had been nothing short of brilliant.
Still, "I came in good faith,"
Entreri stuttered through chattering, barely controlled teeth.
I saved that one."
His free arm twitched out as though to indicate Caterby, but it jerked suddenly, violently, and banged against the wall instead.
"I'll have your word then,"
Drizzt offered, moving toward the man. He meant to go on and exact a promise from Entreri that his evil deeds would be at an end, even that once on the surface he would willingly stand trial for his dark past. Entreri saw it coming clearly, though, and cut Drizzt short, his rising anger giving his temporary control over his uncooperative muscles.
"Nothing,"
he snarled.
"You have what I offered to her."
Drizzt immediately looked back to Caterby, who was up and moving for her bow.
"I gave him me word,"
she replied, more emphatically, matching his doubtful stare.
"And we are running short of time,"
Entreri added. The ranger moved the last two steps swiftly and plopped the mask over Entreri's head. The man's arm slid out of the goo, and he dropped to the floor, unable to gain enough control to even stand. Drizzt went for the remaining potion bottles, hoping that they might restore the assassin's muscle control. He still wasn't wholly convinced that showing Entreri back to the surface was the right choice, but he decided that he couldn't wait around and debate the issue. He would free Entreri, and together the three and Gwenhiver would try to escape the compound and the city. Other problems would have to be dealt with later. It would all be moot, after all,
if the potion's healing magic did not help the assassin, for Drizzt and Catterby surely could not carry the man out of here. But Entrevue was standing again before he'd even finished the first draw of the ceramic flask. The effects of the dart were temporarily and fast fading, and the revitalizing potion spurred the recovery even more quickly. Drizzt and Catterby shared another flask, and Drizzt, after strapping on his armor, belted on two of the six remaining and gave two each to his companions.
"We have to go back out of Benray's great mound,"
Entrevue said, readying himself for the journey.
"The high ritual is still in progress, no doubt. But if the slain minotaurs on the higher level have been discovered, then we'll likely find a host of soldiers waiting for us.
Unless Vendez, in her arrogance, came down here alone," Drizzt replied. His tone and the assassin's responding stare revealed that neither of them thought that possibility likely.
"Head first," Catterby offered.
Both her companions looked to her, not understanding.
"The dwarven way," the young woman explained. "When you've a back to your wall, you put your head down low and let it lead."
Drizzt looked to Gwenhyver, to Catterby and her bow, to Entrevue and his deadly blades, and to his own scimitars. How convenient for cocky Dantrag, in anticipation of his fight with the captured ranger, to have placed all of Drizzt's items so near at hand. "They may have us cornered," Drizzt admitted, "but I doubt that they understand what it is they have cornered." Matron Benray, Matron Mesberis Armgo, and Kiarl Orden stood in a tight triangle atop the central altar of House Benray's immense chapel. Five other matron mothers, rulers of the 4th to 8th ranking houses of the city, formed a ring about the trio. This elite group, Menzoberranzan's ruling council, met often in the small secret room used as council chambers, but not in centuries had they come together in prayer. Matron Benray felt truly at the pinnacle of her power. She had brought them together, one and all, had banded the 8 ruling houses in an alliance that would force all of Menzoberranzan to follow Matron Benray's lead to Mithril Hall. Even vicious Kiarl, so resistant to the expedition and the alliance, now seemed honestly caught up in the budding frenzy. Earlier in the ceremony, Kiarl, with no prompting, had offered to go along personally on the attack, and Mesberis Armgo, not wanting the ruler of the house ranked behind her own to shine darker in Matron Benray's eyes, had immediately offered likewise. Loth was with her, Matron Benray believed with all of her evil heart. The others believed that Loth was with the withered Matron Mother too, and thus the alliance had been firmly joined. Matron Benray did well to hide her smile through the next portions of the ceremony. She tried hard to be patient with Vendez. She had sent her daughter to get Drizzt, after all, and Vendez was experienced enough in the ways of drow rituals to understand that the renegade might not survive the ceremony. If Vendez took a few torturing liberties with the prisoner now, Matron Benray could not fault her. Benray did not plan to sacrifice Drizzt at the ceremony. She had many games left to play with that one, and dearly wanted to give Dantrag his chance to outshine all other weapons masters in Menzoberranzan. But these religious frenzies had a way of deciding their own events, Benray knew, and if the situation demanded that Drizzt be given over to Loth, then she would eagerly wield the sacrificial dagger. The thought was not an unpleasant one. At the front of the circular structure, beside the great doors, Dantrag and Bergignon found themselves faced with equally difficult choices. A guard sneaked in, whispering word that some commotion had occurred at the Great Mound, that several minotaurs were rumored killed, and that Vendez and her escort had gone to the lower levels. Dantrag looked down the rows of seated dark elves to the raised central dais. All of his other sisters were down there, and his elder brother, Gromph, as well, though he didn't doubt that Gromph would have eagerly accepted the excuse to be out of that female-dominated scene. The high ritual was a ceremony of emotional peaks and valleys, and the ruling matron mothers, turning faster and faster circles on the dais, slapping their hands together and chanting wildly, were surely headed for a peak. Dantrag looked into the waiting eyes of Bergignon, the younger Benray obviously at a loss as to how they should proceed. The weapons master moved out of the main hall, taking the guard and Bergignon with him. Behind them there came a succession of crescendos as the frenzied cheers mounted.
"Go to the perimeter."
Dantrag's hands flashed to Bergignon. for he would have had the shout to be heard. "See that it is secure." Bourguignon nodded and moved off down the bending corridor to one of the secret side doors, where he had left his lizard mount. Dantray took a quick moment to check his own gear. Likely, Vendez had the situation, if there even was a situation, well under control. But deep inside, Dantray almost hoped that she did not, hoped that his fight with Driz would be thrust upon him. He felt his sentient sword's agreement with that thought, felt a wave of vicious hunger emanate from the weapon. Dantray let his thoughts continue down that path. He would carry the slain renegade's body into his mother at the high ritual, would let her and the other matron mothers and Uthan Gentle Armgo, who sat in the audience, witness the result of his prowess. The thought was not an unpleasant one.
"Head first,"
Caterbury mouthed silently as the companions came up into the main level within the marble cylinder. Gwenhyver crouched in front of her, ready to spring. Drizzt and Entreri stood to either side of the cat, weapons drawn. Caterbury bent back Tolmeryl. A high-ranking drow soldier, a female, stood right before the opening as the marble doors slid aside. Wide went her red eyes, and she threw her hands up before her. Caterbury's arrow blew right through the meager defense, blew right through the female, and took down the drow behind her as well. Gwenhyber leaped into the arrow's wake, easily clearing the two fallen dark elves and barreling into a host of others, scattering them across the circular room. Out went Drizzt and Entreri, one to either side of the opening, their flashing weapons leading. They came back into Caterbury's line of sight almost immediately, both of them bearing sudden blood-stained blades. Caterbury fired again, right between them, pounding a hole in the fleshy drow wall blocking the entrance to the exit corridor. Then she leaped out between her companions, with Driz and Entreri doing equally brilliant sword work on either side of her. She fired again, nailing a drow to one of the side doors in the circular room. Entreri's dagger bit hard into a drow heart. Driz's scimitars crossed up an opponent's attack routine, then countered, one over the other in opposing diagonal downward swipes, drawing a neat X on the drow's throat. But this was Gwenhyver's show. Inside the crowded room, nothing in all the world could have created more general havoc and panic than 600 pounds of snarling, clawing fury. Gwenhyver dashed this way and that, swiping one drow on the backside, tripping another with a bite to the ankle. The cat actually killed no dark elves in that wild rush throughout the room and into the corridor, but left many wounded and many more fleeing, terrified, in its wake. Caterbury was first into the corridor.
"Shoot the damn door!"
Entreri cried to her. But she needed no prodding and put the first and second arrows away before the assassin even finished the command. Soon she could hardly even see the door for the blazing shower of sparks igniting all about it. But what she could make out continued to appear solid.
"Open! Open!"
the young woman shouted, thinking that they were going to be trapped in the corridor. Once the chaos in the room behind them subsided, their enemies would overwhelm them. Just to accentuate Caterbury's fears, the corridor suddenly went black. Good fortune alone saved them, for the woman's next shot struck one of the opening mechanisms within the door, and up it slid. Still running blindly, Caterbury stumbled out into the Benray compound, Drizzt and Entreri, and then Gwenhyber coming fast behind. They saw the streaks of glowing house emblems leaving a residual trail of light as several lizard riders swarmed to the area of commotion. The companions had to make their choice immediately, as crossbow quarrels clicked off the stone around them. Entreri took up the lead. His first thought was to go for the fence, but he realized that the three of them, with only one spider mask, could not get past that barrier in time. He ran to the right, around the side of the great mound. It was an uneven wall, for the structure was really a tight cluster of several huge stalagmites. Caterbury and Driz came right behind, but Gwenhyber pivoted completely about just outside the doorway and rushed back in, scattering the closest pursuing dark elves. Entreri's mind worked furiously, trying to remember the general layout of the huge compound, trying to discern how many guards were likely on duty and where they were all normally located. The immense house guards covered nearly half a mile in one direction and a quarter of a mile in the other, and many of the guards, if Entreri chose correctly, would never get near the fighting. It seemed as if all the drow of the house were about them now, though, a mounting frenzy on all sides of the escaping prisoners.
"There's nowhere to go,"
Catterby cried. A javelin slammed the stone just above her head, and she swung about. Talmor already. The enemy dark elf was already moving, diving out of sight behind a mound near the fence. But Catterby let fly anyway. The magical arrow skipped off the stone and slammed the fence, disintegrating into a tremendous shower of silver and purple sparks. For a moment, the woman dared to hope that luck had shown her a way to blow through the barrier. But when the sparks cleared, she realized that the strand of the mighty fence wasn't even scratched. Catterby hesitated for a moment to consider the shot, but Drizzt slammed roughly against her back, forcing her to run on. Around another bend went the assassin, only to find the mini-drow were coming at them from the other direction. With enemies so close, to run out into the open compound would have been suicide, and they could go neither forward nor back the way they had come. Entrevi rushed forward anyway, then cut a sharp right, leaping up onto the mound onto a narrow ascending walkway used mostly by the goblin slaves the Benray family had put to work sculpting the outside of the gorgeous palace. The ledge was not difficult for the assassin, who was used to running along the high, narrow gutters of the great houses of the southern cities. Neither was it difficult for Drizzt, so agile and balanced. If Catterby had found the time to pause a moment and consider her course, though, she likely would not have been able to go on. They were running up a path a foot and a half wide, open on one side, to an increasingly deep drop, and with an uneven wall on the other. But the dark elves were not far behind, and none of the fugitives had time to consider his or her course. Catterby not only paced Entrevi step for step, but she managed to fire off a couple of shots into the compound below, just to keep her enemies scrambling for cover. Entrevi thought that they had met an obstacle when he rounded a bend to find two stupidly staring goblin workers. The terrified slaves wanted no part of any fight, though, and they dived over the edge of the walkway, sliding the bumpy ride down the side of the mound. Around the next bend, the assassin spotted a wide and decorated balcony, 5 feet to the side of the continuing walkway. Entrevi leaped onto it, seeing a better-carved stairway ascending from that point. As soon as he landed, two dark elves burst out the doors set in the back of the balcony against the mound. A silver-streaked arrow greeted them first, blowing her back into the carved room, and Entrevi made short work of the other, finishing her before Drizzt and Catterby had even leaped across to join him. Then came Gwenhyra, the panther flying past the three surprised companions to take up the lead along the stairway. Higher and higher went the companions, 50 feet, 100 feet, 200 feet off the ground. Huffing and puffing, the tired group ran on, having no choice. Finally, after they had put 1,000 feet below them, the huge stalagmite became a stalactite, and the stairway gave way to horizontal walkways, connecting many of the larger hanging stones over the Benray compound. A group of drow charged along the walkway from the other direction, cutting off the companions. The dark elves fired their hand crossbows as they came into the great panther, as Gwenhyra flattened its ears and charged. Darts stung the cat, pumping their poison. But Gwenhyra would not be stopped. Realizing this, the trailing members of the group turned and fled, and some of those caught too close to the cat simply leaped over the side of the railed walkway, using their innate powers of levitation to keep them aloft. Catterby immediately hit one of them with an arrow, the force of the impact spinning the dying drow over and over in midair to hang grotesquely at a diagonal upside-down angle, lines of blood running freely from the wound to scatter like rain at the stone floor many hundreds of feet below. The other levitating dark elves, realizing how vulnerable they were, quickly dropped from sight. Gwenhyra buried the remaining elves on the walkway. Entrevi came right behind him and finished off those wounded drow left broken in the fierce panther's wake. Entrevi looked back to his companions and gave a determined shout, seeing running room ahead of them. Catterby responded in kind, but Drizzt kept silent. He knew better than the others how much trouble he and his friends were really in. Many of the Benray drow would likely levitate, an ability that Drizzt had for some reason lost after he had spent some time on the surface. The Benray soldiers would be up along the walkways before long, hiding among the stalactites with their hand crossbows ready. The walkway came to another stalactite and split both ways around the structure. Gwenhyra went left, and Entrevi right. Suspecting an ambush, the assassin rushed around the bend in a slide on his knees. A single drow was waiting for him, arm extended. The dark elf snapped the hand crossbow down as soon as she saw the assassin coming in low. She fired but missed, and Entrevi's sword punctured her side. Up came the assassin in a flourish, having no time for extended battles. Entrevi used his prodding sword as leverage and heaved the female over the railing. Drizzt and Catterby heard a roar and saw a dark elf, swatted by the panther, go tumbling away on the left as well. Catterby started that way to follow, but heard a whistle from behind and looked over her shoulder just as Drizzt's tattered green cloak waved in the air. The woman reflexively ducked, then stood staring at a crossbow dart that had been tangled up in the thick cloth, a crossbow dart that had been aimed at the back of her head. Drizzt dropped the cloak and skipped to Catterby's side, affording her a fine view of the walkway behind them and the group of drow fast approaching. On the narrow walkway, there was no better weapon in the world than Tomoril. Streak after streak flashed down the length, killing and wounding several drow. Catterby thought she could keep up the attack indefinitely until all the pursuing enemies were slain. But suddenly, Drizzt grabbed her by the shoulders and heaved her to the side, falling flat with her under him halfway around the round stalactite. A lightning bolt slammed the stone right where they had been standing, showering them both with multicolored sparks.
"Damn wizard!"
the fiery woman shouted. She came up on one knee and fired again, thinking she had located the mage. Her arrow dived for the approaching group, but hit some magical barrier and exploded into nothingness.
"Damn wizard!"
Catterby cried again. Then she was running, pulled on by Drizzt. The walkway beyond the stalactite was clear, and the companions far outdistanced those pursuing, as the dark elves had to be wary of any ambush near the pillar. Many intersecting walkways, a virtual maze above the great compound, presented themselves, and very few Benray soldiers were anywhere to be seen. Again it seemed as though the friends had some running room, but where could they go? The entire cavern of Mensa Baranzen was opened wide before them, below them, but the walkways ended far short of the perimeter of the Benray compound in every direction, and few stalactites hung low enough to join the great stalagmite mounds that might have offered them a way to get back down. Gwenhiver, apparently sharing these confused thoughts, fell back into the group, and Entreri again took up the lead. He soon came to a fork in the walkway and looked back to Drizzt for guidance, but the drow only shrugged. Both of the seasoned warriors realized that the defenses were fast organizing around them. They came to another stalactite pillar and followed a ringing walkway ascending its curving side. They found a door, for this one pillar was hollowed, but there was only a single empty room inside. No place to hide. At the top of the ascending ring, the bridging walkways continued on in two directions. Entreri started left, then stopped abruptly and fell flat to his back. A javelin soared just over him, hitting and sinking into the stone stalactite right in front of Catterby's face. The young woman stared at its writhing black tentacles arched along its quivered length, crackling and biting at the rock. Catterby could only imagine what pains that evil-looking enchantment might cause.
"Lizard riders,"
Drizzt whispered into her ear, pulling her along once more. Catterby looked all about for a shot and heard the scuttling feet of subterranean lizards as they ran along the cavern ceiling. But in the dimly lit view afforded her by the magical circlet, she made out no clear targets.
"Drizzt Duarden!"
came a cry from a lower parallel walkway. Drizzt stopped and looked that way to see Bergignon Benray on his lizard, hanging under the closest edge of the stone walkway and readying a javelin. The young Benray's throw was remarkable given the distance and his curious angle, but still the weapon fell short. Catterby responded with a shot as the rider darted back under the stone bridge, her arrows skimming the stone and flying freely to the ground so very far below.
"That was a Benray,"
Drizzt explained to her.
"A dangerous one indeed."
"Was,"
Catterby replied evenly, and she took up her bow and fired again, this time aiming for the center of the lower bridge. The magical arrow burrowed through the stone, and there came a shriek. Bergignon fell free from below the bridge, and his dead lizard tumbled after. Out of the companion's sight, the young noble enacted his levitational powers and turned about in the air, slowly descending to the cavern floor. Drizzt kissed Catterby on the cheek in admiration of the remarkable shot. Then they ran on after Entreri and Gwenhiver. Around the next stalactite, the two saw Entreri and the cat bury another dark elf. It all seemed so hopeless, though, to no avail. They could keep scoring minor victories for hours on end and not deplete the resources of House Benray. Even worse, sooner or later, the compound's defense would organize fully, and the Matron Mother and High Priestesses, and probably more than a few powerful wizards as well, would come out of the Dome Chapel to join the chase. They climbed a walkway ringing another stalactite, going to the highest worked levels in the cavern. Still, there were drow above them. They knew, hiding in the shadows, on their lizard mounts, carefully picking their shots. Gwenhyver stopped suddenly and sprang straight up, disappearing into a cluster of hanging stones fully 25 feet above the walkway. Back down came the mighty panther, raking and gouging the lizard it brought along. The two crashed to the stone walkway, rolling and biting, and for a moment, Driz thought that Gwenhyver would surely go over the side. Entreri skidded to a stop, a safe distance from the battling beasts, but the ranger sprang beyond them, putting his scimitars to deadly work on the entangled lizard. Catterby had wisely kept her stare upward, and when a drow drifted slowly out of the stalactite cluster, Talmoril was waiting. The dark elf fired his hand crossbow and missed, the quarrel skipping off the bridge behind her. Catterby responded and blew the tip of a stalactite just to the side of the drow. The drow realized immediately that he could not win against the woman and that deadly bow. He scrambled along the stalactites, kicking off of them and flying along the cavern ceiling. Another arrow cracked into the stone, not so far behind, and then another blew out the hanging stone right in front of him, just as he went to grab it. The levitating drow was stuck with no handholds, hanging in midair 20 feet up, and now a few dozen feet to the side of the walkway. He should have released his levitation spell and dropped for the ground, recalling the magical energies when he was far below Catterby's level. He went up instead, seeking the safety of the nooks in the uneven ceiling. Catterby took deadly aim and let fly. The streaking arrow drove right through the doomed drow and thundered up into the ceiling above, disappearing into the stone. A split second later, there came another explosion from above, from somewhere above the cavern roof. Catterby stared curiously, trying to decipher the meaning of that second blast.